This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, August 20th. I'm Patricia Naft. The second stage of the USA Pro Challenge bike race kicked off yesterday morning. Over 120 top cyclists from around the world pedaled 105 miles from Aspen to Crested Butte. KVNF's Laura Pomisano spoke with race fans as they cheered on riders flying down McClure Pass.
About 50 people gathered on Highway 133 where it forks right to go up Kevlar Pass or left to head up McClure Pass. These cycling fans came to see racers compete in the USA Pro Challenge. Matthew Squiot of Glenwood Springs brought his family to watch cyclists pedal down McClure Pass at 35 miles per hour. He says the racers went by quickly, but he's glad he got to see them.
It's bike racing. It's a lot of anticipation followed by about 30 seconds of really cool sights.
John Thrasher of Delta is an avid cyclist. He says he's watched the race before and is always impressed with the athleticism and skill of the riders.
It's always surprising to me how that many people can ride that fast on each other's wheel and not get in trouble. But they were very gentlemanly as they went through here, and I think it's a testimony to a great sport.
Stage 3 of the race will have cyclists riding 96 miles from Gunnison to a steep finish on Monarch Pass. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
American Robin Carpenter won second stage 2 of the race. He now holds the yellow jersey as the race lead. Boulder's Alex Howe took second again. Feral cats continue to be a problem in the city of Delta. KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with Delta Community Developer Director Glenn Black.
The feral cats are actually, in a sense, they're a wild animal, so nobody's really claiming ownership of them. A lot of them have been pets that were abandoned or stray cats that have had litters of kittens, and then they've grown up not in a domestic environment. So it's a little bit of a struggle on what to do with them. A lot of times since they're raised wild, they aren't something that can be easily domesticated. So it's not an animal that can be easily reintroduced into kind of the domestic environment. So the city has adopted some codes, because there are a few people in the city that want to take care of these cats. So they tend to do that by just putting out food for them and feeding them.
So like these people act as kind of caretakers for these pseudo-domestic cats?
Right. But the real problem is, so the city was trying to sort of get their arms wrapped around that, and they actually established some regulations for the colonies. And the people are supposed to come in and register their colonies, and then they're supposed to demonstrate that they're actually doing more than just putting food out for the animals, that they're actually taking care of them, that they take them to vets, that they work to get them spayed and neutered, that they get their ears tipped so that they're easily recognizable as an animal that has been spayed, neutered, and then re-released into the city. So we set up those regulations. Part of the problem we're having is that a lot of the caretakers don't want to be registered as caretakers. So we only have one colony that's actually registered in the city.
And these colonies, they're like 5-6 cats?
Some of them are small like that, and some of them are larger. So there's been reports of some of them being up to like 20 cats.
I'm sorry, that just sounds absolutely crazy. So like there's like 20 cats just out in the wilderness?
Yeah, well, and it'd be better if they were in the wilderness, but unfortunately they're within city limits. And so, you know, some of them are in the kind of the industrial areas of the city, and there's a few that are actually near some of the parks areas of the city.
What's, I guess, the next step?
Really, at this point, we've had a couple of public meetings. We got some of the stakeholders together that were concerned about them. And, you know, we haven't really gotten anybody that's come in and re-registered, but we do know that some people are working on getting the cats, you know, a bunch of them spayed and neutered. So it seems like at this point, the problem is actually sort of taking care of itself.
That was Glenn Black with the City of Delta. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Tularemia continues to spread around the western slope. The bacteria was just found in a rabbit on the eastern part of the Redlands in Mesa County. Tularemia can spread through dead animals to pets to humans, so health officials warn against handling dead wildlife and keeping a close eye on pets. Cases were found in Montrose County earlier this month. Although the disease can be lethal in humans, it is treatable with antibiotics. Another disease that's seeing an outbreak in Colorado is vesticular stomatitis, or VS. Keith Rohr is the Colorado State veterinarian.
Horses are most commonly affected, but occasionally we see, as we have recently, a few cases in cattle as well. So presently we have 175 premises under quarantine, and three of those include cattle, and the rest of them are only horses.
Right now, the disease appears to be limited to the Front Range.
And we've been about 3.5, 4 weeks into this outbreak, and we're seeing about 10 to 15 new cases per day. And the majority of those cases are in Weld, Boulder, and Larimer counties. Seen 6 cases in Jefferson County, 1 case in El Paso, and 1 case in Douglas County.
Keith says the disease is the same virus that has spread north from Texas, migrating black flies brought the disease, and he urges those with livestock to do what they can to keep their black fly population in check. Last Saturday, Justin Steeb, an inmate at Delta County Jail, died. This is Sheriff Fred McKee.
Detention officers went back to do a routine check on Mr. Steeb. They found him unconscious and not breathing. Ambulance services were notified immediately, and Mr. Steeb passed away in our cell. Mr. Steeb had received medical attention earlier in the day at the Delta Memorial Hospital and had been released, and we had him in a cell where we could monitor him via camera. Seemed like everything that we can see that the detention officers were quick to respond and responded appropriately to the emergency.
The Colorado Bureau of Investigation is looking into what happened, but McKee says that it's only for transparency's sake. A top GOP political action committee has announced a multi-million dollar television ad buy-in in Colorado to help Republican Congressman Cory Gardner in his bid for the U.S. Senate. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The face-off between Gardner and incumbent Democratic Senator Mark Udall is still on pace to be the most expensive Senate race in state history, after Crossroads GPS announced that it will spend more than $6 million on the race. John Strayer is a political science professor at Colorado State University. He expects a river of outside money to keep flowing into Colorado.
This is a critical race. It's a critical race for both parties, actually, but for the Republican Party trying to take control of the U.S. Senate, there's a handful of races they have a good chance of capturing, and this is one of them. So it's no surprise at all that they're pouring just loads and loads of money in.
Crossroads GPS is backed by Karl Rove, a former top strategist for President George W. Bush. Colorado's Senate race is a statistical dead heat. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.